Yes, welcome in. Hello again. We are back. It is time. The clock has struck. Not 12. The clock has struck, I would say 10:30 in terms of the midnight of this off season.
It's like how they do. It's like how they do the doomsday clock. It's 2 minutes to midnight.
I feel like they're gonna turn that doomsday clock to midnight, and the world will be ending, and I'll go, huh? That'll be it.
You're just it'll just be in the background while you watch YouTube or something.
I'll be, oh, the clock was right, and then
And then nothing.
heat death or whatever it is that is. Listen, I don't know about you. I assume that from all the films, I assume that the end of the world in reality will be like, right? It'll be like the TV turning off. It won't be like a slow degradation of society. For most of us, it'll be like that. The sun will be there, and then it won't, and then we'll be gone,
If it's not like a Roland Emmerich movie, I will be disappointed. I mean, I
I
won't
plan on,
because I'll just be dead, but like
we both plan on being dead for the first wave.
If there's some sort of like apocalypse with survivors, it's not going to be you or me.
May God have mercy on our souls. A perfect headspace, I think, to describe where we are in terms of talking about baseball. And listen, last time we spoke, embarrassing amounts of optimism, perhaps.
I don't know if embarrassing, misplaced, perhaps.
Maybe we're getting Shohei Ohtani
How naive we were.
why does it already feel so hilarious that that was even
It's like looking at photos of yourself from your early 20s
tap
and
in if
being
you're
like,
21.
who? And being like, who's that guy?
Okay,
That's the thing with Shohei's pursuit is like.
don't want to do too much banter before we get into the I would say about a dozen people replied to my tap in show miss at 21 and said they don't believe that that's me.
To be fair, when you first showed me your old ID when we were both in our mid-20s, I did not believe it was you. I remember very clearly you showing me an old ID card. I can't remember if it was government ID or university ID. And
Yes.
I would have been like 23. I think you would have been like 25. And I remember you showing that to me, and I was like, that's not you. So
It's
I get it.
the full
I
head of
get it.
hair and the be and I don't I didn't have a beard because I had a full head of hair. Why would somebody have a full head of hair and a beard? You'd
And there's also a very like
hogging.
different vibe. Even back then, even like when we first became friends, there was a different vibe about you.
What am I humbled?
Comedy
Would you
school
say?
hadn't beaten it out of you yet, I guess.
A different kind of smug is sort of how I would describe. Oh, Lord. All that is to say, both the 21-year-old youthfulness of us and the versions of us in early December that thought maybe we'll get Shohei Ohtani, couldn't be further from the rear view. And I know we had said at the end of that, and at the end of the off-season preview was like, hey, when they do something, we're gonna hop back on and talk about it. And then they brought back Kevin Kiermaier, and we were like, that's not really something, really. And then they got Kiner Falefa, and it's like, that's not really something. That's not really something. And then they got a Cuban guy that I don't think they've even announced yet. And it's like, that's again, not really something. And now they've signed Justin Turner, which is something.
What if I told you that the not really something is everything?
Well, it sure feels like that's it, I will say. And I could be wrong, and I know that it's a very common and easy and obvious even talking point to say all these moves seem fine, and this is the truth. None of them are particularly insulting, taken individually or even as a group. Everyone is writing the same thing this week, and they're writing if the Jays make one more big move, they've really painted a complete picture. I don't think the big move is coming, not in a pessimistic way. In a, I look at that fact that they're already past the first, whatever it is, luxury tax, the competitive balance tax. They're already a tax team. The payroll is already the exact same, and from what I can tell, they're not interested in any of the guys that cost big money right now. Not a lot has changed in terms of the top of the market. There's been a couple guys here and there. Rhys Hoskins is off which is disappointing. That the one I sort of was holding out for, Solaire remains available. Bellinger remains available. And we'll get into why I honestly don't even care that they're not getting those guys, but this all seemed a little bit easier before the announcement today that the Baltimore Orioles are adding Corbin Burns, who is not, you know, it's not sky is falling, but coupled with the news story that the Orioles have sold their team to venture capitalists, billionaires, and aren't going to be broke like we thought they would, it's a little harrowing. The Yankees got a little bit better. They added Juan Soto, Marcus Stroman, and say what you will about Verdugo, but they added another guy. The Red Sox, probably going to be bad. The Rays, doesn't really matter. They're going to raise it up. But the Orioles, the only real issue is pitching, and they added Corbin Burns and Craig Kimbrell. Your mileage on those guys may vary, but they're, just to say, the other teams are adding name players, and the Blue Jays have not. The name of Justin Turner, and I like Justin Turner. I think it's a good ad. I think he's the kind of player they should be getting. But all this feels... it feels incomplete, and again, it's February. We're less than 60 days, but not, it's not next week that they have to play their first opening day game, and we'll see what the market thinks. But it doesn't feel the way that I thought it would feel. Even when they fell out of Ohtani, I was like, okay, they're not getting Ohtani, but they were in on Ohtani and they were in on Juan Soto. They are looking for the big splash, and I think what's making people nervous and scared is the big splash is not happening. Is that accurate to you?
Sort of. Are you asking like me personally or the general?
I guess general, and then and sort of where you land, because I get a vibe talking to you that if I were to give you an over under of say 86.5 wins, would you take the under or the over? I know I'm throwing you many things at once, but sort of, do you think that's what's the cause behind it? And then what do you think personally in terms of how you are landing as to how we got to where we are and where we are?
Yeah, I think generally that's fair as the cause. I think if you go from, doesn't matter what context your team is in, if you go from, oh my God, we're about to land the greatest player on earth, to we've just re-signed Kevin Kiermaier. Like, I understand why that is not exciting. And especially Ohtani aside, how the whole narrative going into the offseason was the Jays are looking to make a splash.
Yes.
And they're looking to make a big move. And they obviously haven't. And we can get into and speculate on the whys. I think you laid them out pretty well and pretty accurately. But I get the general vibe. I'll sort of use this to blend into my point of view here. I feel like last year was so unpleasant for so many reasons, on field, off field, just a mess of a season. And like the team was unlikable. They weren't fun to watch. The results obviously weren't there. There was the Bass controversy. There was the whole Manoah thing. There was Vlad not being good. There was Springer not being good. And then obviously there was the perfect in some ways ending to the season. But just ending in disaster and vitriol and anger. And I get all that. And that's fine. And then to go into the offseason, coming out of that and being like, we're going to make a splash. We're going after literally Shohei Ohtani. And then that doesn't happen. And then so far, again, agree with you, there's still 60 days. But so far, the moves have basically been, we're going to be the same team as last year, maybe slightly worse.
We're even going to be more last year's team.
Yeah.
We're going to find a way to be last year's team more than we were last year.
Yeah. I understand why that is not exactly exciting people. Because it's not inciting me, and I get it. As for the moves themselves, I agree with you that in a vacuum, minus IKF, who I am not a fan of, regardless of situation. But in a vacuum, I think bringing back Kiermaier is good. I don't personally like Justin Turner, but I understand the addition. He's a guy who can at least hit, if nothing else. You know, you can make the argument of a 39-year-old on 3 years of decline and whether that's what this team needs, and that's fair. And you can also make the argument that all the buzz, like the Jays found their new cleanup hitter and it's Justin Turner, is not the most exciting thing in the world. But again, in a vacuum, a totally fine signing. You need guys like Justin Turner on your bench to be a successful team. The issue is that these moves aren't in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, and judging by the, let's call it the team mouthpieces, writing their articles this week, and I don't mean that as a slight, it's just what they are. You know, and it's very much about betting on internal improvements, betting on guys like Vlad not having repeated the same kind of years last year. And, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a crazy idea. The issue is it's the same conversation we had a year ago, and it didn't happen. And it's also kind of the same conversation we had the year before that, and it didn't really happen. And my issue is that it just seems like it's a lot of waiting game with this team. And it's a lot of trust the process, and the process hasn't really been working. And as you said, the Yankees and the Orioles are getting better. And that's not to say you should build your offseason based on what someone else does, because I think that's a fool's errand.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem to me like they hit big on career years in 2021 when they had, even though they didn't make the playoffs, arguably the best season of this core.
I think they, not even arguable to me. Team was crazy.
That team had, when he was healthy, George Springer was excellent, had a career year from Vlad and a career year from Marcus Semien, had a career year from Robbie Ray. Berríos came in and was excellent. They weathered the storm of playing in three ballparks. And so it seems to me that ever since then, it's kind of been like, well, if we get career years from four guys, it'll be fine.
And they low-key sort of did last year too, right?
And that's where I was going next. And last year, not only did they, minus Vlad, really, but, and like Springer wasn't great, but they got 140-something games out of him. Which
140 bad games, but yes.
Yes, but the injury luck last year, though, is a thing that concerns me for this year. Because last year they underachieved and didn't have injury problems. The rotation was outstanding and were healthy all year. That's not going to happen again. They got 100-plus games from Kiermaier and Springer.
That one I am doubtful. You make you sick. I've done so much talking myself into everything. I believe in the fact that they have veteran pitchers who know their bodies and are less likely to get hurt. That's how fucking sick in the head I am right now. They don't go out there and, you know, it's not Nate Pearson in the rotation trying to throw 104 in the prospects game. You have Chris Bassitt, who is very aware of his body and pitches to himself. And you have a veteran guy in Gausman who knows what he needs. And you have a guy in Berríos who doesn't blow the doors off.
If there's one guy I'm not going to sit here and doubt, it's Kevin Gausman.
Yes, he's
that's fine. Amazing. I have no issue with Kevin Gausman. I actually have issues with most of the rotation. I don't like watching Chris Bassitt, but I agree that he's effective.
Love Chris Bassitt.
Like, I think Berríos will be good again. Kikuchi, honestly, who knows?
Who knows?
But again, that's kind of the point. Who knows? Let's assume Manoah comes back and is fine. I'm going to say good. Let's say he's fine. So you have your five pitchers. If one of those guys goes down, is it Mitch White? Is it Yariel, who's never pitched in the major leagues before?
It's Bowden Francis.
Is Bowden Francis? Is it Ricky Tiedemann? What if two of those guys goes down?
Sure.
What I have a hard time wrapping my head around here is one major, one minor. The major thing is last year we sat here being like, man, they need a fourth outfielder. What if one of those guys goes down? Nobody went down, but most, they were kind of bad. Mm-hmm. And then it was also like, what if one of the pitchers goes down? And then we had the Manoah issues. We had Mitch White come sneaking up basically until Ryu came back and was great. That fifth spot was just like a nightmare for 4 months. Now, we're going to the next season. Nothing has changed in that respect. Like what?
Yes.
We don't have a third baseman.
Yeah.
I actively do not. The best option in my mind is to play Vlad at third. That's how bad the third base situation is right now.
Do they
have a second baseman that they can play every day? Not really.
We're bouncing back with BGO. I'm so talked into all this stuff. It's sick.
Usually I'm right there with you. I'm early on this. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be like bad as a team, but I certainly don't expect anything more at this moment in time. I don't expect anything more than last year. I don't think they're finishing fifth in the East. I don't think they're going to be unwatchable in the sense of losing. They might be unwatchable in the sense of how they play. But like when you gave me the 86.5, that's, I think, a correct number to give.
I don't think 86 gets you in. I don't think 86 gets you in.
I'm not sure it does either, but I think they're looking at 86 to 88, not 88 to 93.
It's dicey.
And the other thing that sort of bothers me about sort of the construction of the team, again, at this moment in time, plenty of time for this to change, but as you outlined the reasons why, I think both of us don't think it is. This team has the, second or third highest payroll in franchise history?
It's wild.
And we're hoping they win 90 games?
That part of it's crazy. They have like a $200 million payroll to make a pretty good team, right? They're pretty good.
They might be also not.
It's crazy.
We're having this conversation sucks, frankly.
Sure.
And it's just like we said at the beginning of last season, wouldn't it be nice if they just ran the table and we didn't have to be like, oh, if they just get hot in September, it'll be fine. Wouldn't it be nice to go into a season and not be like, man, if our generational player is just good, they have a chance.
Well, they do it again. Like, we do this a lot, not to be this reductive, but Vlad being good does make the whole thing look easier to stomach, right?
Of course, but like it just seems like we keep going. It's like 4 years in a row now, or three, I guess, not counting 2021. 3 years in a row now where it's like if they just get a bunch of career years, they have a chance. Wouldn't it be nice just to go in being like, we got a good team. We've spent $200 million and we have a good team.
Well, last year was the like they don't even really need career. They needed those guys to have decent years, and they all had really bad years.
They had the best pitching in the league, and they had the best defense in the league.
It was offense. We know that it was offense that
did right. And then they didn't add anyone.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt. It's tough. It's tough. I know I'm battling from a lower position here because you're not wrong, right? You say they don't have a third baseman, and I can go. Well, you know, IKF is a comparable. The fall off defensively from IKF to Chapman is actually not that crazy. He's a pretty darn good defensive third baseman. Everyone was so sick of Chapman as a hitter last year.
Me included, we're gonna miss Chapman's bad at bats so much.
So then I would say the answer to the fourth outfielder is that Davis Schneider is gonna play left field against lefties, and will move Varsho to center. And then I would say that's all. Schneider and Biggio is your answer at second base. And I know that I'm just telling you who is currently fitting in the roster, and it's not supposed to, especially, but here it comes back to everything you said is valid. And I think is an easy, agree for me that's pretty clear. Right. And as much as we got into the Ohtani hunt, and as much as we've had a lot of time this offseason having people tell us about Soler, and we talked a lot about Bellinger, and we talked a lot about the outfield, and just like we did last offseason, lying to ourselves and being like, maybe they're going to move Kiermaier to fourth outfielder. They're not. That's not. It's just, they're just not signing a guy better than Kiermaier. They aren't. we now know that Turner is the DH guy. And the reality is, after Turner signed, everybody was like, shit, they really don't have a third baseman, do they? Turner might play some third base. I don't think it'll be a lot.
I think he played 40 games last year.
It's not great, right? It's not great. He's if you wanted to be direct, right, you're sort of saying Turner is filling your belt, veteran guy who can just hit and you shouldn't be fielding too much. IKF is filling your Merrifield as sort of a guy you can play all over and rely on, but not expect too much from. And Kiermaier is filling your Kiermaier because he's Kiermaier. You've eliminated Chapman altogether. It's a challenge. Other than Chapman, there really isn't anybody to go out there and get. And this brings me to the thing with, I'll use Bellinger as the example, but it also applies to Soler. It also applies to basically everybody. And the thing about this is there really aren't any sure shot free agents. There really is no guy that you're about to say, let's give this guy multiple years. And I think what's the problem is I don't think any of those guys are taking 1 year deals at this point. I don't think Jorge Soler is taking a 1 year deal. If he would, he'd be on the team right now is sort of what I believe, because, and you know, the question that I would ask anybody who is like, it needs to be Bellinger, it needs to be Soler, is like, why is the Bellinger bounce back something you're betting on and not the Vlad bounce back? Why will Bellinger and
did it last year?
Sure, but also didn't do it for the 2 years before that. And sure, and also had many years where they've fallen off when they weren't in a contract year, to be quite frank, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're betting on a bounce back year anyway. You may as well bet on the bounce back years from the guys that you have. And it's not just Vlad, it's Vlad, it's Kirk, it's Springer, who you're not even betting for bounce back. You're betting for like slows the degradation decline. Down the decline. You're hoping that Turner, you know, declines a little bit and doesn't fall off. I'm not gonna lie to you that there's not a cliff, right? There's not a pretty identifiable, like, reasonable percentile chance thing that happens where it's like, oh, the team ended up being actually pretty bad this year and ended up, you know, we talked, I think the last 2 years we went into about this part of the season, and we said, you know, the bright side is even if it crumbled, even if it was worst case scenario, the floor is probably 84. I actually do see a 500 and below possibility, yeah, here. It's not too great. Like, you forget they didn't play. They had Bo on the shelf for extended periods last year, and Ernie Clement came in and played his absolute nutsack off, and Schneider came in and was the best player in the history of baseball over the first handful of games. I ended up coming around. I like Horwitz. I think Horwitz is a guy that you can use this year. Like, I think all those guys are guys that you can use. It looks to me like the plan, and I think we bandied this about a little bit last year, is like, I think at third base, they are hoping that at some point somebody is just too damn good to deny, whether it's Orelvis, whether it's, you know, I don't think it's Barger, but whether it's David Schneider is like, I have to be playing every day, whether it's IKF is better than you expect. I think they expect somebody to step up and do it. I don't know if that is a reasonable way to be. I think we went through this in the middle of last year too, right? About like, that is a path. Is that guaranteed contendership? Is there any way to guarantee contendership out there? Because I think part of our frustration is like, we want it to be fairly simple because we are seeing other teams do it, of just like, go out and get the most talented guys. I think part of what's frustrating this offseason is like, there is no direct path. There is no just pay them. There is no, the third baseman is Chapman, and we know what that is. Like, it's difficult. It's difficult. I go back and forth a lot on like, maybe Chapman's a guy who takes a make good year and does come back, and the hole is so obvious. But every time I think that, I think there's just no way the Giants let him get an offer and don't just add $10 million to it. I just don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. There's no one out there that's like, oh, if we just sign him, it's fine. Like, I, despite my desire for them to, for lack of a better term, sign someone good, I'm not like, go give Bellinger money or go give Soler. None of those guys are like, I mean, it'd be exciting and fun if they signed Bellinger, But I agree. It's not like, oh, they signed Bellinger, now they're the favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I think then, if that's the case, and like that's the place this team is in arguably the last year of the window, because like it's getting close. It's getting closer every year.
They still have all the pitchers. So they have all the pitchers and they have another one more crack at the Bo Vlad thing, but I'll let you finish.
But again, the pitchers are still, other than Gausman and Berríos and Bassett, it's still like, I would love Kikuchi to repeat last year, but as you pointed out about Bellinger, like who fucking knows?
Mm-hmm.
Like he was good once. And I hope he's good again, because I like Kikuchi a lot, but you know, maybe he won't be. He might revert back to old Kikuchi. I have no idea. And Manoa, like, truly, who knows?
Still on the roster.
Best shape of his life.
Despite all odds.
Working out a lot, anyway.
Of his life. Of his life.
But, like, again, I feel like all of these questions and these plans are fine for 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if there isn't, you know, a break glass in case of emergency guy out there right now, which I don't think there is, I think then you have to look at sort of just like the planning of the front office and the strategy coming to this point. And I think that somewhat justifiably that there's a lot of credit due, and I don't want to say blame avoided, but you know what I mean? When you look at some of the unquestionably good signings and good trades they've made, which no debate on the vast majority of those. You could really say the only major whiff is probably Varsho. And that's only at this point, and that could change in terms of like the big moves. But then you also look at where they are right now and the way the team has been built, and you can make the argument they didn't know that Vlad was going to stink it up for 2 years, which fair enough. But it just feels like you look at the farm development and you look at sort of the, let's call them knee-jerk reactions to ends of seasons. Not so much this year, but the last 2 years. And just sort of drafting and forward thinking and building farm prospects, developing arms, developing bats, just doing all these things. And I think you have to look at that and look what they are now. And it's hard not to be like, man, they might have just fucked this up. And I'm not saying they've done good things. I'm not saying like they haven't made competent and good moves at all, because clearly that's not true. They have, whether you want to call them a successful perennial playoff team is another question, but they are a perennial playoff team. And that's not nothing. But like, it just seems like it's, something went wrong is what it seems like.
Yes. The team is built around Vlad. I hate that I'm being this productive.
No, that's true. I think that's absolutely true. It's built around Vlad being a top 10 player in baseball.
They added pitching because Vlad was ready in 2021. And they said, oh, we got to go. We got to do this. We got to get Robbie Ray immediately. And they said, we got to replace Robbie Ray with another ace. And they did. And they
added Chapman. Same reason. Same thing. They need a third baseman. They got Chapman.
We need a third baseman, top of the market, got to do it. We need veterans, Springer, got to do it. We need to rush Alejandro Kirk up because we need catching, hitting now. They did it. We need to trade our first round picks to get Berríos. They did it. We need to build the bullpen out because the team is ready. They did it. It's built around Vlad's timeline. And part of the reason why every one of the successes you pointed out there, position player wise, is a 1 year deal.
Yeah, fair.
Because why are you signing a guy for 3 years from now? Because 3 years from now, Vlad and Bo could be gone because it didn't work and they're blowing this entire thing up. Your point is made of like the reason we're being so such high scrutiny on this year and last year and next year. I will sneak preview. Next year is going to be even worse is because this is it.
Yeah.
We're very clearly aware of like, And you also made a great point of like they have built a playoff team, three of the 4 years, right? I'm not wrong on that. 3 of the 4 years, 2020 counts technically.
If we want to, I forgot about it, but yeah.
3 of the 4 years, and the fourth year they were one game back. And in some ways, the only way you can really judge a complete team building is, are they competing for the playoffs every year? And they have been. That's undeniable. And I think big picture, zoomed way out, they've done a pretty good job of building a very complete team. But the problem is now we are zoomed way in, right? Yeah. And this is where you see people who don't have a huge investment in the team, who have been turned off mentally for the last 2 months and turned on for a little bit, and the transaction comes up and they react to it and they go back to what they were doing. And then you have people like me and like you who have been not stopping thinking about baseball the whole time. And you're like, like every single day, you're like, wow, nothing again still. We sort of see it as a little more pressing and a little more urgent. And I hate doing this. I hate doing how we're supposed to be coming on here and talking about the transactions and talking about the ads. And the only thing I can keep thinking of is Vlad has to be great. And it's that much. It really is that much to me. And I hate that I keep going back to it, but it's what the whole fucking house is built on. This is the whole point of why this matters, of why this year is important. And it's stressful. And you know, there is a small bright side for me on the fact that the Burns move happened today. And that is that I was starting to feel like, well, it sure feels like they're done. We talked about that, right? It feels like they're done. Feels like there's not a big thing coming. The Burns move does make me remember. It's like maybe there's time for trades. There's time for a trade.
Who do they, other than Manoa, who are they trading?
People seem to think that Espinal is like, you again, it's the hilarious way that anybody who follows a team works, right? It's at the same time Santiago Espinal doesn't have a spot on the team, but also he's going to be a guy who fetches a return that makes them better, right? It's like both of those things are true to me. I can have both those thoughts. Maybe he's a guy that you can get a fourth outfielder for, right? A useful I'm not saying that a big thing is coming. I'm saying something like the trade equivalent of signing Adam Duvall, right? Of like, oh, right, that is a fourth outfielder who can dink around and do stuff. But like, I knew we were in a pretty bad place as a fan base. I knew that. I knew that because I, you know, as I said many times, the older I get, the more it's my only focus. When Polanco got traded and people were like, we didn't get Polanco, I was like, okay, guys. holy. That's not good.
Even I'm not that damaged.
But it's reality, right? Is people are looking for anything. They're looking for any reason to latch on because people want to believe. And it was a really weird year last year. And there was not just the team underperformed. They were all really insanely bad at home. Rogers Center, it was unbelievable how much their OPSs and their WRC pluses, how much all that stuff dropped when they were at home. I don't know why the hell that would be. I don't think you can totally blame the reno for that because it's like contact rates and it's hard hit rates. It's very strange. All the pitchers on the flip side pitch very well at home. Basically nobody in the league hit well at Rogers Center, which you thought was going to be the opposite, and it's always been a hitter friendly park. If that normalizes and Vlad looks a little bit better, maybe it's that simple. I don't know. I'm trying to hold on to the, like, because if Burns can get traded today, the Jays can have a Manoa deal and could have a Espinal deal, and in those two things solve, I'll call it liberally, 1.5 problems.
Yeah, and I also grant that, like, other than the Dodgers, every team goes into the season with a, well, if X and Y happen, then we're fine. And I don't think that's unique to the Blue Jays or the Blue Jays situation. Like, saying if Vlad is good, we'll be good is insane.
Mm-hmm.
My issue just stems more from the fact that it just feels like it's not, it is just Vlad, but it's not just Vlad, if that makes sense.
It is not. I'm being a little reductive. It's
you're,
Springer.
You are and you're not.
Kirk. Like, yeah.
Like, yes, if Vlad's in MVP form, just by like math, it boosts us 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah.
But there's still a whole lot else that went wrong last year that wasn't just Vlad. But I do agree he's the center of it. I think I'm just, I don't know. It's back and forth in my brain of agreeing with you that there's nothing really for them to do at this point, other than overpay for a guy that maybe they shouldn't.
Can they even? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Or can, if even like, if, let's, putting aside logistics of them actually being able to.
Yeah.
But like sure, they can give Soler too much money or Bellinger too much money. But like, is that going to do it? I don't know. But on the flip side, it's like, man, they can't go in as they are now. Like, it just feels like they're setting themselves up for failure. And then if you're going into spring training, like you said, just hoping that one of those kids is going to step up and do it. Like, maybe. But when you're in your peak starting to come down the mountain of your window, that's just not how I... And you don't have, you know, the prospect that is like, okay, we'll bring him up and that's great. Other than like Ricky Tiedemann, who could be super fun.
Sure.
But offensively, like, they don't have that guy waiting the wings like they did with Bo and Vlad, of like, we can bring them up and that will fill that spot and that will be great. They have a bunch of guys that it's like, maybe they'll show us something. I hope they show us something.
Yeah.
And I feel like where they are in their window, that's a scary thing for me.
Those guys are the key though, right? If we want to use the Astros as an example, they had a dynasty, they had a window, and then they let Correa go, and then they let Springer go, and then they let Garrett Cole go, and then they let Justin Verlander go, and then they won the World Series again, right? Because Tucker came in. And they had another shortstop come in, and they had more pitchers come in, and they continued to supplement things they couldn't develop, they traded for. That is important to have that. And that is where like Schneider hitting was so important last year. We saw it happen in real time of like, he basically saved the season, Schneider and Clement and Horwitz basically saved the season. If it can be a Relvis who just comes up and is the spark and you go, wow, the bridge is here. Thank God. It would mean so much. I'm also
for sure, but those teams also developed farm systems and had guys that were expected to be good.
I know prospects aren't real though, right?
That's also true. And that's the flip side. I'm always in favor of trading all of them, so I can't be like, oh, why didn't they hang on to Austin Martin? Like, who cares?
Also, I recommend, and I've helped myself to a few servings of this as well. Treat yourself to a little bit of like, the less sense it makes, the more likely it is to work. like how I got on board with Team of Destiny in the back half of last year, where I was like, they can't get out of their own way. They must be about
to win. They must be good.
They must be on the verge of history. I would advise some of that. Before we check out and hopefully come back in 2 weeks when they make a big deal, being specific on the players 40 minutes in, specific on the players they did add. Justin Turner, it has been it's been a decline. Did hit 25 home runs last year, would have been second best in the team, one behind Vlad, had an 800 OPS, would have been very good. A guy that played hurt down the stretch, could barely walk, according to some clubhouse stuff from the Red Sox, but is a guy. And listen, due warning, we're about to do the thing where we talk about the stuff that you can't measure, yada, yada, yada. He is a guy that battles in his at-bats, has good at-bats, and I also want to be very careful that I'm not describing Brendan Belt, but I get it. You know, a guy that is, he is a bit of a Jose Bautista, right, where he was like a cast-off journeyman, and then through hard work and sheer will, turned himself into a World Series player, into a championship piece. That's not where he is now in his career, but he is a guy that is like about doing the work. He is about not giving away at bats. He is about playing with your head and playing hard and not being like the most physically gifted guy out there and not having it come naturally and being a guy who wants to talk hitting and being a guy who wants to be a leader. And I think they keep thinking they have that. I think that's what they thought they had in Springer. I think that's what they thought they had in Belt. And I think personality wise, Springer ended up not really being that. And Belt ended up being a guy who is 3 days from vacation, right? And was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of like a low-key, sarcastic, funny guy who feels out of place in this clubhouse. I don't get the sense that's what Turner's going to be. I get the sense that we ended last year very angry at how these guys weren't playing with any sort of baseball sense, that they were getting picked off in the most important plays. They were not paying attention, not taking it seriously. We were like, Vlad's too sad to hit well. What the fuck are we doing here? I think Turner's a guy that does turn that tide. we continue to stray further and further from the world of vibes. I get it. But, you know, I can't be too mad that we complained about a thing and they went and got a guy that seems to be the exact version of addressing that. The question will be, as it always is, the effectiveness of those speeches and those conversations come from being a good player. He was very good last year. Will he remain good as one of the 19 players in baseball older than me? We will see. But in terms of, do I like the signing of Justin Turner? I do.
They've definitely signed. They've had a great offseason for people whose favorite player is Kevin Pillar.
You'll never let Kevin Pillar go, will you?
He's just a perfect scapegoat for how I feel about all those kind of guys. But Justin Turner is obviously better than Kevin Pillar. I think I don't personally particularly enjoy Justin Turner, but that could also be because he's only played on teams I despise.
Sure.
But yeah, I agree. I think that I especially don't like being the these fun young guys need someone to straighten them out kind of guy. But like, yeah, I think as a clubhouse, I think he's a guy that the clubhouse will like more than me. And I think that's important.
Sure. Yeah. And they're not young anymore.
That's true. Which I guess even furthers the point. I think again, unfortunately, everyone like Turner, and frankly, everyone left except for Bellinger, really, and even that's debatable. Everyone left comes with the, or at least, sorry, not everyone. Everyone left who would have been signed in Turner's spot, other than Bellinger, comes with the caveat. Yeah, it's a good move as long as they add another real bat.
Yes,
and it doesn't matter if it was Turner or if it was Soler or if it was Chapman. Or it could have been any of those guys. Or if it was Hoskins a couple weeks ago. Maybe not Hoskins. Hoskins is sick. But, like, he's also coming off a massive injury, so who knows. But, like, all of the third position player signing spot, anyone you signed there, save Bellinger, comes with, great, now add someone else. No matter what. So, and that's not Turner's fault. So Turner could be a great move if they find someone else to put in that other hitting spot,
and we'll see if they do. I mean, we've heard Bo Bichette sort of got a lot of credit because he mentioned that they needed a JD Martinez and they needed a
that would be great
Justin Turner. Well, now now they're all playing DH. They don't want that because JD Martinez.
I don't care.
but just sort of. Yeah, absolutely right. And you heard Chris Bassett mentioned it on Foul Territory. Like, this is the kind of guy that the clubhouse, and you put nicely there, the clubhouse thinks they need this kind of guy as well.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And I think regardless of what you want to say numbers wise, that is valuable.
They're not and they aren't, and you sort of hearing Bo say the right things, like they aren't young, inexperienced guys anymore. Bo and Vlad are 5-year veterans, in their mid-20s. Jano's 28. All the pitchers are in their 30s. Springer's 34. Kiermaier's 33. Turner is 39. Like Varsho's a 27. Kiermaier's or kind of left as a 28. Like, it's not 21, 22 year olds out there that need to learn the game. These guys are either in their prime or are 10 year veterans. So this is it.
And I also think that sort of attitude in coverage of the team, not necessarily me, just like observation of the team, I guess, including us, including the media, including fans, like that notion of they need someone to come in and like shape it up, I think is now like, is Vlad going to be a clubhouse leader or not? Like, as you said, he's in his fifth year. Is he going to keep making stupid ass mistakes on the base paths or not? Like, at a certain point, I think this year is the year where you can be like, what are you?
Yeah, I agree. He's certainly talking the talk.
Hopefully what he is 2021 Vlad.
Yeah, he's certainly talking the talk this offseason and did sneak in a MLB The Show cover story that he got an MRI in September and was dealing with an injury for most of the back half of the year. Would have been nice to know that while the year was happening. I don't know.
Why would we?
Yeah, why would anybody know that? Yeah, Kiermaier back as well. I think we all know how we feel about Kevin Kiermaier. I do feel nervous. We spent all of last year waiting for him to, waiting for him to get hurt, but sort of being like, wow, how is money? 129 games, the most he's played. He hadn't played 129 games since 2019, which is now 5 years ago. He played his most games in 5 years last year. And I was ready mentally to be like, he's signed somewhere else. He'll never do what he did last year again. And now I have to.
Oh, I thought he was a Yankee for sure.
I have to go back and be like, he's going to do it again on the same team. We'll see. And Varsho remains. Varsho with a bounce back. I'm believing in the Varsho bounce back. Kiner Falefa. I want to say you called Kiner Falefa a mile away. Coming.
They need to stop taking my ironic, pissed off suggestions as gospel.
You're too damn good. You're too damn good. He was pretty bad last year.
Oh. He's always been bad. He can't hit. Hey, he's fine defensively. He can't hit.
Hey, he hit 8 home runs in 2021. So
he's been a below average hitter every single year of his career. Never OPS plus over 100 in his life. Or even hit 100 in his life.
Well, we're here.
If you were excited about Biggio and Espinal, let me tell you.
What if they got another one? What if he could play all over? Okay.
It's the Raptors getting all the 6'8 guys that didn't work, but with mediocre baseball players.
And that's it for another episode. Feels good to be back in the saddle. Just feels good to talk about baseball. I don't care about anything else, really, to be frank with you. I really don't. I wish I did, but I don't.
Hard to blame you.
Doesn't it feel like it is hard to blame me? I feel like it's hard to blame me. Okay.
All right.
Well, let's all, prayer warriors, I need you to put your hands on the screen now and join me. We are going to manifest something worth happening, talking about in the next 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers.
And it's Blake Snell and JD Martinez to Baltimore.
Stop that. Pitchers and catchers is coming up. Sure, and then is. I think that
sounds like a threat.
Yeah, by the time we get there, it's time for me to start looking at the 40 man and doing my research again. That'll be fun. I get to copy last year's notes because
I was going to say, you have so much new. So much new.
Guess I'll learn about Justin Turner and then be done. I don't know. Uriel Rodriguez. We get to
take all your Kevin Biggio notes and just like downgrade it a bit, and then you have done it. IKF done.
Bad news that I'm so in on the Biggio bounce back. I'm so in on it. It makes me sick. He did exactly enough last year for me to be like, huh. Figured something out.
What's that thing? Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting a different result.
Why not him?
Other
than the reasons why not? Why not him? Mr. Horwitz, I was wrong about that one. We'll get to it. That'll be coming up in February. The boys of summer are right around the corner. You know it, and I know it. Baseball is coming back. We thank you, as always, so much for being a part of Less Than Jays.